And so today's an all-age worship, and so we're staying together in church today. I want to just set a bit of the scene. What's the best news you've got today? Well, I know for certain people, they are enjoying a very rare experience. Yes, Arsenal's top of the Premier. And do you know what? I have a lot of people telling me this. Lots of them telling me, as if, you know, we are the best.
We are.
You've not been there very long yet, friends. And from the top, there is only one way. And then I had some very excited West Ham supporters the other day as well. There's a phenomenon, isn't it? And you know, the West Ham supporters were really, really excited. They won a match. And they were really excited. They thought, well, they thought there'd been a turnaround. And they all came, you know, I had a number of them telling me that West Ham won. Every other team five, but that's another matter. And they were excited and wanted it to be known. We've been looking at the book of Romans over the last 9 weeks, and this is the last Sunday on the book of Romans. Although the small groups will continue to look through the book of Romans in a bit more detail up to the summer. And as we've been looking at the book of Romans, we've been looking at the amazing story, the amazing gospel. Gospel is a word that simply means good news. And the amazing gospel. And today we are going to say, so we've got this amazing gospel. We have had our lives transformed. What next? Jesus' last words, before he went into heaven. Now, Jesus had been walking around and he'd been living. He lived for 33 years. The last 3 years of that, he was involved in his ministry and he was healing people, casting out demons. Jesus was transforming lives. He was helping the lost. He would reach down to the sinners and help them out of their difficulty. Jesus did phenomenal things over those 3 years. And crowds would follow him. And then he did the most amazing thing. He died on a cross. Those of you who were here last night, I'm sorry for those of you who weren't, because we had the most phenomenal evening with West End actors and singers leading us, and they were the most amazing. But one of them told this poem about Jesus on the cross, and it was amazing because it talked about how as he hung there on the cross, it was our sins he was being punished for. The things we had done wrong that he was being punished for. It was phenomenal. And if you just think about that for a moment and think about the worst thing you have done, it's all right, I'm not going to ask you to share. Because I don't think we could cope. But if you think about the worst thing you have done, Jesus has paid for that. So your account with God is clear. If you say to Jesus, I'm sorry, and I want to invite you into my life, your account with God is clear. Your debt is paid. Now, I apologise. If you owe the bank some money, you still have to go and pay that money back. But your debt with God is paid. You have been forgiven of every debt you have with God. Is that good news? It's better news than Arsenal being at the top of the Premier or West Ham scoring a goal. But actually, it's also far more common than both those experiences because God is faithful at all times and he will always forgive when we come to him. Why? Because Jesus took the punishment so we can be forgiven. But this same Jesus rose again. He came back to life. And by coming back to life, he showed us that eternal life with Jesus is possible. Everything Jesus said is going to come true because Jesus has shown it. Jesus himself said, if you want to know the way, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Such great words. And he wanted his disciples, that's you and me, to know that. To truly know that. But then, Jesus' last words, what were they? As he ascended to heaven, go and tell. Go and make disciples. Go baptize. And the words of Jesus, his last words, his very last words to his followers was, don't keep this to yourself. Don't keep it to yourself. There's others who need to hear this good news. And I want to ask you today, who have you told? Who have you told about Jesus? Who have you not told because you're worried they might be upset? Or they might laugh at you? Jesus said, go and tell the world about me. And so Paul, talking about the hope he has. We often forget when we read these fine words where Paul was writing from. He was in prison. His life hadn't gone quite as he planned. It wasn't the plan he had. He wanted to be telling people, but he'd been put in prison. He'd been persecuted. He'd been whipped. Things had happened to Paul. Yet, he still wanted to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And very often, we stop proclaiming good news because we're having a bad day. Jesus' last words, go into all the world and make disciples. That's a responsibility on us. Now, I'll talk to you about why. We've talked about what we should do, is tell people about Jesus. Why should we do that? Have you ever thought about why should I tell people about Jesus? As you watch television, have you ever watched some of those emergency programs where they have the air ambulance or something like that? And they get a call and the air ambulance is off. It's off to go and rescue this person who's had an accident or is suddenly very ill in a remote place, and they go there. Why do they do that? Why do they do that? Well, they do that because they want to save the person's life, don't they? And I've got to say, as I watch these programs, we are blessed in this nation with some most amazingly talented, committed people in our rescue services, aren't we? Have you ever stopped to think about what they put their lives through, what they put themselves through to save people? And maybe we need to remember to pray for them as they do that. Well, the why we should tell people about Jesus is the similar thing. Paul was talking about the promises God had made to the Old Testament to his prophets about what he was going to do, including to Abraham, who was going to make a great nation, and there would be all kinds of people coming to the knowledge of God because of Abraham. And in Jesus it was fulfilled. But we're also reminded that God loves those who don't know him. God loves the lost. What we talk about the lost is not those who've gone somewhere into London and can't find their way out again. Who's done that? Got lost in London? Yeah, it's fairly easy, isn't it? Or it's not about those who've gone out on a mountain hike and got lost because they forgot to take their compass and their map, and they didn't realise their GPS signal wouldn't be working, or their mobile signal won't be working when you get up into the mountains. I mean, why they don't realise it, because half the time it doesn't work in Romford either, does it? But, you know, that's not what we're talking about. It's those who have lost their relationship with God. And God loves them. Those of you in a relationship, married, whatever, you know, part of being married is you start to see what's important to your marriage partner. It becomes important to you. It becomes important to you. Because you know, if they are okay, those things are okay, your married partner will be okay. Or your child, if you have children, those things that matter to your children really matter to you. We have come into a relationship with God. We are in a relationship with God. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, we are in a relationship with God. And therefore, what is important to God should be important to us. Yeah? And what is important to God is that there are millions of people in this nation who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. There are millions who have never even heard the story of Jesus. A few weeks ago, this church was totally different. We had all these big inflatables in here, and we had children, class after class after class, coming to see the story of Jesus. And it was the Life Project. And do pray for the outcome of that. One school, their Christian union has doubled in size as a result of coming here to this exhibition. Praise God. And Jesus loves every one of those children. Jesus loves all the teachers. And as we see what God can do when we put ourselves to sharing the news of Jesus, we see people come into faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to invite you to think about, why should I tell people about Jesus? In the theme of Paul's letter, Paul explains throughout Romans why he feels it's so important to share the good news. But actually, we make it complicated sometimes, don't we? We make it complicated. Paul's ultimate vision for mission was to bring the good news of Jesus to all nations as a united work of faith. And God wants his good news to be shared in this nation. What's the good news? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And our good news to the lost is Jesus loves you. Our good news to the Muslims is, do you know Jesus loves you? And he wants a relationship with you. How many remember that really old song? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Who knows that? Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. How many of us believe that still? Yes, Jesus loves me. We made it so complicated. We say, Jesus will love me if I'm good enough. Jesus will love me if I'm brave enough. Jesus will love me. No, Jesus loves you. He loves all. Let's remind ourselves that Jesus loves us. Let's remind ourselves. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me.
Build God's kingdom here. How do we do it? We've done the what we need to do. We've done the why. The what because Jesus told us to go and make disciples of all people. The why because God loves everyone and we pray for it. So how do we share the love of God? Well, there are many ways to do that. With Paul, he had a life of ministry which involved words and actions. But let me just say, some of us are very good at words. Oh, some of us are very good at words. We can talk all day. I'm not labelling anyone here. But there's also the need for action. to show God's love. And the words and action go together. When Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room, he said, "You will do greater things than I will." And sometimes the action is but praying for people and believing for a miracle. Sometimes the action is giving somebody some food because they're hungry. Sometimes the action is spending some time with someone, not for ourselves, but purely for them. Sometimes the action is just being there. In this church, we run several ministries, either directly as a church or in partnership. Do you know, 5 days a week from this church, people on the streets of Romford are fed with food. With Dave, who we work with closely, going out with people from this church and other churches and other places to show the love of God through food. That's sharing the love of God. We have the food bank that runs from this church. Last year, over 5,000 mouths were fed through the food bank. And we'll be talking more about that this afternoon. That's about showing God's unconditional love to others. Day by day, people come into the meeting place and we often stop to pray with people, to talk with them, to help them through life issues. And that is part of our church's ministry. But there's also the ministry as us as individuals. In the normal week, there are over 160 hours. And I'm going to be really generous to you, okay? I'm going to give you 60 hours sleep, okay? And that's because it just nicened that round numbers because I've got 100 hours or so left in the week. 100 hours when we're not asleep, where we have opportunities to show the love of God. You might say, but I work for 40 of those hours. Yes. And you're there as a representative of God in your workplace. I want to ask you, what can God use your 100 hours a week to do? To show love to the needy? To speak a word of encouragement into somebody's life. To speak truth. There's a lot of people who will spend time with you. And we'll spend time with our young people. Particularly if they want them into drugs or whatever. You know, there are people there. Satan's out there to grab. So let us take the upper hand. Show love. Show care. Show unconditional support. But how do we share the love of Jesus? It doesn't have to be complicated. A long time ago, in 1996, I began ministry in Tamworth in Staffordshire. And I was called to that church, and when I got there, we were halfway through the planning of a mission with the 30 churches of Tamworth gathered together to do mission to make Jesus known. We had some amazing things going to happen. We had Rick Wakeman coming, Rick Cannonball coming, all sorts of people who were going to come and do it alongside Michael Green, who was an Anglican evangelist, and Pat Lynch, who was a Catholic evangelist. It was going to be a great time. And as inter-church processes went, they had to have a name for this mission. And they called it, wait for it, it will roll off the tongue, Tamworth Initiative in Mission and Evangelisation. Isn't that a great name? Me being the new Baptist bloke on the block, said, oh, time, T-I-M-E. Why don't we call it to the people, this is my experience. And we taught the people of the churches in Romford, you don't need to know the whole of the Bible And no one came to Christ because they lost an argument. You been with that sort of person who weren't wanting to outbeat everybody's debate with an argument? Nobody's ever come to Jesus because they lost an argument. But you can tell your story. What do you do when the Jehovah Witnesses knock on your door? Oh, Jehovah Witnesses. Slam the door. I'll tell you a way to work with the Jehovah Witnesses. Say, can I tell you my story? They're never going to say no. And you can tell them your testimony and plant a seed in their life which God can use. And use the story of what God has given you to share his love with others. If you've known God's healing, don't keep it quiet. Tell people about it. If you've seen God give you peace, don't keep it to yourself. Tell people about it. If you've seen an answered prayer, tell people about it. They might think you're crackers, but they thought that about Jesus as well. He will understand. But what an opportunity to share. And so, as we come to the end of the book of Romans, and Paul has been speaking about his amazing God and his whole life poured out for this amazing God. He has told people about what he has been through and how God has saved him. He has planted churches. He has talked about hope. We too can get excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Think time. Have you got time? Not to do anything particular, but to tell, this is my experience. To tell people about the love of Jesus. That amazing story of Jesus' care. You want help with it? Let's come to God and pray for help as we just